Saquon Lawrence, happy Father's Day.
FFFC is a demonstration project committed to engaging African-American non-custodial fathers to their children financially, socially, and emotionally so that African-American children will realize better outcomes and possibilities. Today and next week, we will present Father's Family Health and Community social marketing campaign called New Man Project, which is an exploration and promotion of what works when it comes to rebuilding the black family. We want to reimagine the role and image of black men and fathers and work towards a successful campaign for black male achievement. In addition, we'll lift up examples of affirmative black fatherhood, male-female relationships, and effective parenting. Among the topics we're covering, the responsible fatherhood field and definitions of manhood, rites of passage and mentoring programs for black youth, effective black leadership in the role of fathers, black women as allies of fathers, family, healthy communities, like women in fatherhood, effective approaches to addressing health disparities between the black community and the larger society, examples of strong black families, father's role in educating the black child in the 21st century, effective community-based organizations in the black community, both locally and nationally, checking and challenging the media's image of black men and fathers. Today we have Phil Thomas, president and CEO of ETA Theater, who's going to talk about that, and Leslie Gordon, author and marketing and PR professional, executive, managing legal and personal responsibilities related to financial support of children, and lastly, effective workforce development and sector-driven job training activity in Chicago.
And I should point out to our audience, Saquon, that our radio shows, our previous radio shows, are on our website, and they can download them for listening.
That's right. So as you can tell, FFFC's, you want to give the website, Dr. Harris?
Yes, that's www.fffhc.org. That's www.fffhc.org.
So as you can tell, FFHC's New Man Project is interested in what's good about the black family and community. Let's talk about fathers as assets. Let's examine our youth as a group with enormous capacity and possibilities. Let's lift up the black woman as heroic placemakers in our community and our society. Let's introduce ourselves to our culture and have a dialogue about its central role in our rescue and reassertion in society and the world. What this means is that FFHC is challenging ourselves and community to dispense with debilitating talk, which overemphasizes how bad our communities are, our fathers, how bad our politicians and leaders are, our schools and families, and instead promote solutions, examples of excellence, and the best of what it means to be African-American and human in the world. So fathers, if you want to be a member of FFHC, call us at 312-252-0460, extension 120. Again, 312-252-0460, extension 120. Or visit our website at www.fffhc.org or listen to the show on WVON. This afternoon, we have two guests, author and PR marketing executive Leslie Gordon, and Phil Thomas, president and CEO of ETA Theater. First up, we're excited to have on the forum Leslie Gordon. Leslie recently partnered with Detroit business leader Bill Middlebrooks to write a nonfiction book entitled Dare to Be Extraordinary, a collection of positive life lessons from African-American fathers, featuring some of the country's most successful men and women. She believes without question that the opportunity to write the very personal, poignant stories of 20 extraordinary people and the lessons they learned from their fathers is, in a word, divine. A native of Chicago and Kona, Hawaii, Ms. Gordon is an accomplished writer and public relations executive with more than 20 years of experience honing her craft. She served as senior vice president of external affairs for the Chicago Urban League and vice president of engagement marketing for Borrell Communications. Prior, she spent 5 years as executive director of creative services communications for the University of Chicago's development office. Today, Ms. Gordon runs a public relations marketing consultant business and writes feature stories for her popular website, LeslieWrites.com. She has written speeches for corporate executives and powerful female entrepreneurs. She is married to Emmy award-winning broadcast journalist Ed Gordon and together they have three children. Leslie earned a master's degree in humanities from the University of Chicago and a bachelor's degree in advertising from the University of Illinois. She is also an avid marathon runner and fitness enthusiast. And she is from Chicago. So, Leslie, how are you?
I am great. Happy Father's Day. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Well, thank you very much.
Leslie, we're really happy to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and sit in with you guys.
Yeah. So before we get started, we want to say Happy Father's Day to Mr. Ed Gordon.
Thank you. I'll pass that along.
And Mr. Bill Middlebrooks.
Thank you.
So let's get right to it. I did get a chance to look at a little, I guess, the galleys of the book. And so why did you guys write Dare to be Extraordinary?
Well, I jumped at the chance for a couple of reasons. One, because Bill Middlebrooks, a business leader and community servant in Detroit and someone I tremendously respect as a husband and father of two sons, he asked me if I would work with him to develop a book that celebrates and uplifts African-American fathers. Bill wanted to begin a new positive conversation about African-American men and their role in raising their sons and daughters. And as I said, I jumped at the chance because I'm a mother of two sons and a daughter, and fatherhood is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. And on a side note, I lost my own father when I was 13 years old in Chicago. And I miss him every day, but I had a group of wonderful men to step in and really support me and help me become the woman that I am today. And that's my grandfather, my stepfather, my uncle. I had a real village, if you will, of course, my mother and wonderful women, but a lot of strong father figures in my life as well. And so I love my black brothers, and it makes me so proud to be involved and talking and writing about the truly wonderful, selfless, loving fathers out there who are taking care of business and doing the right thing.
Right. And Leslie, I have a question for you. And this kind of pulls on your various roles as a woman, a mother, a wife, a professional. And what would you say, you know, from those various contexts, what would you say are your key takeaways with regard to the lessons you've learned as a result of this project and what we can bring forward from it?
You know, I think it all boils down for me to the fact that there are some extraordinary men out there raising extraordinary sons and daughters. I mean, we looked at a cross-section of men and women, of very famous to, you know, everyday working men and women, but all of the common theme is that they were very successful, and it boils down for me to the fact that this isn't anything we haven't heard or conceptualized before, but my research and the writing of the stories of these successful folks proves to me that a father's presence, his love every day, the time he spends teaching, developing, and nurturing his children, these are the things that really matter the most. And really, out of all the people that we talked to, from Russell Simmons to Robin Roberts to Alan Houston to Andrew Young, Ambassador Andrew Young, all of their fathers were present, even those who didn't live at home with their sons and daughters. All of the dads made sacrifices for their children, and some didn't even get the chance to follow their own dreams for a number of reasons, but they did everything within their power to make sure their children were able to realize their dreams. And each of these dads pushed, encouraged, and loved their children to the best of their ability. And really, that's why these people are extraordinarily successful men and women today. And it's not about being famous. It's not about being, you know, being privileged. A lot of these folks come from very, very humble beginnings, but their dads put in the time, put in the work, and made sure that their kids were supported and loved and nurtured. And I think those are the key takeaways for me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, and again, we want to say Happy Father's Day to all of the brothers out there, our members, our Father Family Healthy Community members, the members of our families and our partners. So, Leslie, I see that you interviewed celebrities for the book, and you just mentioned some of them. Did you also interview fathers who aren't celebrities? And if so, what did you learn about those fathers?
You know, honestly, most of the men and women featured in the book, as I said before, are not celebrities. I mentioned the famous ones, and I want to just give a shout-out to all of the Chicago folks who were in the book, and that's John Rogers, the president and CEO of Ariel Investments, Stephen Holt, who is a morning anchor on NBC5. His father is Lester Holt, who anchors the Today Show in New York. And then Juana Wooldridge, she's a young woman. She is a motivational speaker and author, and I know she has a blog talk radio show, and she's got nearly 7,000 followers on Facebook. She's in the book as well. So those are my three Chicago folks that are representing. But they all of the people are, the dads really weren't the famous ones, if we want to talk about who's famous and who's not famous. It's really the people that I mentioned, Robin Roberts and Russell Simmons, et cetera, who are quote-unquote famous. But the dads were everyday dads, and they, again, some of them grew up in the Great Depression. Some of them, you know, during the Civil Rights era, a lot of them were poor. A lot of them didn't have a lot of opportunities or had to, you know, were run out of the South, for example, because of, you know, some issues, racial issues. And they just stuck in there with their kids and made sure that they were present every day. I keep saying the same thing because that is what I learned from this, that these dads had a hands-on role in raising their kids and making sure that they would grow up to become really successful.
Mm-hmm. And Leslie, as a follow-up to that, the question that we wonder about, because as you know, we're working in the field of responsible fatherhood and really trying to advance opportunities for men to do what they really want to do, we believe, in most instances, and often need assistance in doing that. But with that said, from a woman's point of view, what do you think that African-American women need to know about advancing of father responsibility, about advancing the role of men in families and communities? Is there something, is there a unique message there?
You know, I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, just acknowledging that there are so many fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, father figures who are trying to do the right thing, and that we as African-American women need to support those men. And I think to the women who, for whatever reason, don't have a good relationship with the father of their children, for example, I personally ask that you also try to do the right thing and remember that this is about the children. This is all about our babies.
Right.
And we have to put all of the foolishness aside and do everything within our power to make sure our children are whole.
Right.
And that means allowing the father to see his children in a safe environment, of course, and supporting him in developing a real relationship with the child. You know, at the end of the day, we women, we need to love and support these African-American fathers and help our children develop strong relationships with their dads, because our children need their fathers, period.
Right. That's a good
point. And thank you for clarifying, too, because the book really is about individuals, famous or not, in the relationship they have with their fathers.
That's
right,
correct.
Right.
And just to give a little bit more background, I mean, this is like through the personal stories of 20 men and women. I've talked about who they are. Some of them are Dare to Be Extraordinary, a collection of positive life lessons from African-American fathers, really breathes life into one of today's most compelling social issues, and that's fatherhood in the African-American community. And in-depth discourse allows these business leaders and cultural icons and athletes and politicians and activists and some of the best and brightest minds of our time the chance to share with a lot of honesty and a lot of intellect lessons learned from their own fathers. And essentially, each story provides a roadmap to success for families and people from all walks of life. So it really is sort of a tribute to extraordinary fathers. It's a roadmap. It's a wonderful just collection of life lessons.
Right. And I like the fact that you do the celebrities and you also do individuals who are not celebrities, because the truth is that we got fathers in the communities that are slugging it out every day and maybe don't get the kind of recognition that they need about the work that they're doing and the connections they are making with their children, their families, and their communities.
Yeah, and to be honest, again, most of these dads in the book, they're not famous. You know, some of the kids went on to be extremely famous, but these are just hardworking, everyday fathers. Some of them were raised on the Caribbean islands and came to America looking for better opportunities and really kind of stuck it out there and got their education, encouraged their children to pursue education and really just made a difference in the lives of their children. So it's not about, it's the unsung heroes that really go on to raise extraordinary men and women. So that's really what this is about. And I just want to say that there's a lot more dialogue and discourse about fatherhood and about this book in particular on extraordinaryfathers.com. That's where people can buy the book. And it also there's a fatherhood panel. There are articles about fatherhood from a woman's perspective, from father's perspective. So it's really sort of a holistic approach to talking about fatherhood and hopefully supports what you guys are doing with fathers, families, and healthy communities.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and also, again, Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
And we have to give a shout-out to our friend and brother, Troy Harden, Dr. Troy Harden, who brought Leslie our way. We are very grateful, Troy.
Can I just say something about Dr. Troy Hardin?
Please.
He's one of the baddest, strongest black men I know. He's been one of my marathon running partners for many years, and I just want to say happy Father's Day to him, too. He is married to one of my very dear friends, Dr. Noni Gaylord Hardin, and they are a power couple, and he is doing amazing things with his two beautiful children.
Yeah.
So happy Father's Day, Troy.
Yeah, well, we got to talk to Troy about this marathon.
Yeah, we got to talk to them about that. Yeah, we didn't know
Kwesi. Oh,
yeah, we didn't know Kwesi was a marathon runner.
Oh, he's a serious runner for a long time. You need to talk to him about it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so this is great. So we're about to wrap up, and I know you got a lot going on. We're so grateful. Now, why don't you give our listeners the name of the book again? And we know it drops today on Father's Day. So I'm getting mine. I'm committed to go. I'm getting mine online.
Awesome.
And so what's the name of it again?
The book is called Dare to Be Extraordinary, a collection of positive life lessons from African-American fathers. I author the book, Leslie Gordon, along with my partner, Bill Middlebrooks, and it is available at extraordinaryfathers.com.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Leslie.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Next for you guys?
You know, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Bill is a community servant here in Michigan. He also owns several businesses, so he's all over the place right now. I am I do marketing and public relations. I have a client, an advertising agency that I work for in Chicago, so they keep me busy all the time. And I'm in discussions with a pretty prominent political figure about writing his autobiography. And I can't say much more until we sign the on the dotted line, but there are a lot of good things happening.
Wow.
Well, congratulations again for writing the book. We're very grateful that you took the time to write it. And you take care. We'll be in Detroit in a couple of weeks and in about a week, and we're going to touch base with you then.
Absolutely. I hope to see you.
We'd love to see you, Leslie.
Again, happy Father's Day to both of you.
Happy Father's Day. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, Phil Thomas, President and CEO of ETA Theater.
Research. Non-custodial fathers, we know you may need help to become better fathers. Tune in to WVON every Sunday at 2 p.m. for the Fathers, Families, Healthy Communities Forum. Saquon Lawrence and myself, Dr. Kirk Harris, will discuss the New Man Project, which is a lifting up of what works when it comes to rebuilding the black family.
Reimagining the role and image of black men and fathers and working toward a successful campaign for black male achievement. Non-custodial fathers, become a member. Work with other fathers in a safe space who are committed to being in the lives of their children in positive ways. Explore what it truly means to be a man and effective ways of co-parenting with the mother of your children. Commit to engaging in demand-side job training and access to jobs. Work towards establishing a cooperative relationship with child support services. Work to establish visitation and other ethical and legal arrangements to spend quality time with your children.
Fathers, call us at 312-252-0460, extension 120. Visit our website at www.ffhc.org or listen to the show on WVON every Sunday at 2 p.m. WVON is now on iHeartRadio. If you have a smartphone or tablet, download the iHeartRadio app and enjoy WVON wherever you are. This program is brought to you by Fathers, Families, and Healthy Communities.
WVON.com. The website. Check it out.
There's a man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile when he says to me, how's my child? I say that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Said I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him father.
a thing if you want to compete. Because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color him father. I think I'll color this man love. Our real old man, he got killed in the war, and she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again, and then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in, and now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I believe I'll color this man love.
Color him father.
He's just been so good to me.
Color him father.
I believe I've got to color him love.
Color him love.
I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I've got to color this man love.
Final dance with him. I'd play a song that would
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Happy Father's Day. Today, we're glad to have another friend and supporter of Father's Family Healthy Communities join us on the forum, Phil Thomas. Philip Thomas is president, CEO, producer of ETA Creative Arts Foundation. Most recently, Phil was senior program officer of community development at the Chicago Community Trust. In that capacity, he focused on developing program priorities, managing the budget, and conducting grant applications, reviews, and evaluations. Well regarded in the funding community, Phil was a program officer at the Woods Fund of Chicago prior to joining the trust. He was director of development and public relations at Suburban JobLink Corporation and a research analyst for Berkeley Planning Associates. Phil earned a BA degree in public policy studies at the University of Chicago. And let me just say he's a dear friend and a big supporter of our work and is a real leader in the African-American community.
And let me just say, you know, Saquon, he has a special place in our heart because, you know, he worked very closely with us as we started the initiative. So we're really glad to have him with us on Father's Day.
And And so happy Father's Day, Phil. I know your children. They've come by my house. And so it's just good to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here, Kirk, Saquon. I am honored to be here, really excited, and happy Father's Day to the both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So let's just get right to it. We got a lot to talk about. So today's show is about, and it's appropriate because it's Father's Day, is reimagining the black man. What's your view of how black men and fathers have been depicted in the media and popular culture?
Wow. Well, I guess I would describe it as being narrow, distorted, inaccurate, lacking any kind of nuance, and not reflecting the true diversity of what black men are. I think that's reflected in the remarks that I heard earlier with Mrs. Gordon's book, that there is a diverse array of fathers and fatherhood styles and men. But somehow the media only portrays kind of a very distorted, stereotypical view. I call it, I guess you could refer to it as the super masculine menial that Eldridge Cleaver talked about many years ago. So you can see it's an old story.
Right.
So, Phil, there's been some work that has recently got done by a group, the Opportunity Agenda work on African-American men and boys, which is grounded specifically in this report called Opportunity for Black Men and Boys, Public Opinion and the Media. And it really does talk about how public opinion shapes social policy. I know if we all kind of think and reflect on what we see on TV and what we see here in the news and the imagery that's out there, it does send us some messages. What is it that you have to say about this emerging kind of critique on the what's happening in the media and the portrayal of that and how it manifests itself in public policy?
Well, I'm glad to see a critique. I think it's at this point in our history, it's kind of a chicken and an egg question, because policymakers are try to be sensitive to or responsive to conditions as they are on the ground, and politicians are sensitive to and responsive to voters. And so when you have big catastrophic events like terrorist incidents or these horrendous murders we've been having on the south side of Chicago, I think there becomes a knee-jerk reaction to do something fast, to be shown as being tough on crime. I think it's exacerbated then by the media coverage, which overemphasizes really the actions of really just a few men. It's really statistically it's significant in the sense that any life that we lose in our community is significant. But if you look at the numbers and just in your own life, most of the black men you know and encounter are not criminals, do not kill anybody, do not go to jail. And despite the horrible statistics that we hear, and we are overrepresented in the criminal justice system and in many other bad categories that we could think about in terms of social well-being, that does not mean that we're all painted with that same stripe. So it's ridiculous when we talk about this in our normal lives and discourse. It would be crazy to talk about your own family that way. But for somehow, when we get in the public domain, the discourse is to fall back on these really ridiculous stereotypes.
Yeah, and ETA Theater, as most of our listeners know, is an arts institution, right? And one of my heroes, W.E.B. Du Bois, argued that the art must be propaganda. And I know you gave a speech that I heard at Chicago State, which I'm going to suggest now is going to be part of our folklore on propaganda. I mean,
yeah,
part of your speech was on propaganda.
Fire, brother, you were on fire.
So, but Du Bois argued that art must be propaganda. And you made a great speech, as I said before, in April, where you talked about this. But briefly, Du Bois' belief was that art's purpose is propaganda. He says that I do not care, quoting here, for any art that is not used for propaganda. His feelings were that art as well as beauty should serve the purpose of securing people's rights, right? And so what's your position on the idea of art as propaganda, and what should African-Americans' art be used for?
Well, I would answer that by starting with the mission of ETA Creative Arts Foundation, which is now in its 43rd season. That mission is for the perpetuation promulgation of the African-American aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing to understand, that we have our own sense of beauty. That beauty that is different, that is unique to us, it's unique culturally, it's something that we all resonate with. Mm-hmm. And it is legitimate, and it is a legitimate form of art. And when ETA was started, there was a dearth of that in the in available to our own audiences. So we had to watch representations of other people, of us, written by other people. And so what we talk about is telling our story in our own voice, telling our own story in our own voice. And almost invariably, when you look at popular culture, the movies you go to, whatever, the closer it is to that sensibility, the better it is and the more useful it is for our community. Now, I would say one thing about art. Art isn't always pretty. Some art has to go into a dark place or an ugly place. But the best art takes you out of that place and lets you grow and lets you see a broader sense of what it is to be human. And that's that universality that everybody is really, that really touches people when they look at a really fine crafted piece of art. And that's what we try to do at ETA.
So Brother Phil, let me ask this question, because, you know, Brother Saquon starts off the show every week, and he talks about we trying to promote a more asset-based approach to the way we think about opportunities and build opportunities in the communities, and to really move away from these depictions, which are negative politicians, negative things happening in the community, negative things happening in the families. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And so in some sense, each of us has a responsibility to kind of transform those messages. But do you have any really good insights and perspectives you can share about who you think and what's out there with respect to turning those images around, and maybe some points of light, if you will, around that?
Well, I can answer that in a couple of ways. The first way is institution building. Mm-hmm. So back when ETA was started in 1971, it was very important to the founders of ETA and other folks involved in the cultural community that we build our own cultural institutions. Right. One of those people, outside of Abijah Joan Brown and Okoro Johnson and the rest of the founders of ETA, one of those other people were people like Hakeem Adabuti, who started what is still now the major African-American publishing company, independent publishing company in the world. They all understood that if you're going to change the perception of our people, you have to control that image all the way down to all of its making. And every other community understands that culturally you have to own that. And that was really a big part of that. The other part is, you have to have a paradigm from which you're working with, what you're trying to achieve with the art. In the 80s, ETA led an initiative called PDI, Playwrights Discovery Development Initiative, that brought playwrights from around the country to Chicago for a series of conversations over a year to construct a paradigm for African-American literature on the stage. And that thing really gets at the heart of what you're asking me, because that paradigm, the number one tenet of that paradigm was, we want to make art that illuminates our diversity by showing characters and relationships that are seldom seen. And that is really, really still the case. You want to see I don't know if you all remember when the Cosby Show came out, and the big lament was, those aren't real black people. You got a lawyer and a and a doctor in the same house and the kids and nobody's on crack, you know, that's not real. Now, it was ridiculous that we allowed that conversation to go on because, of course, that's real. Of course, that's right. A major part of our community.
Right.
You know, so that was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The other part of the paradigm was we explored then positive archetypes, mm-hmm. one to show the heroic, the mm-hmm. role models.
Right.
So how many times in work that is not produced mm-hmm. by African Americans mm-hmm. does that happen? Right. Almost never. There's always some kind of pathology, some kind of weird quirk or something mm-hmm. about them, mm-hmm. but just the pure heroic. Unless we fight for that, unless right. we write it ourselves, it won't be told.
Because usually it's somebody else saving us, right?
Exactly. Or the other day I was watching with my kids and my dad too, mm-hmm. and we were watching a movie and it was a horror movie. I can't remember what it was, but we saw a brother in it. I think it was Star Trek or something. And he's like, "Well, how long?" We were counting down how long he was going to last because we knew he was out of here, and we all know that, don't we? And so that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with shaping our own message, shaping right. our own story. And that has a residual effect. You know, kids watch all this stuff. We internalize this. All of us learn from repetition. Mm-hmm. If we see on every video, on every piece of art, every piece of popular culture, a distorted image mm-hmm. of a black male who's violent, mm-hmm. who's irresponsible, basically a grown child, mm-hmm. and you internalize that as a young person, that's going to be part of, you know, your mm-hmm. conception, your self-conception, right. Right. Let alone the broader community. People in Iowa and Nebraska never seen an actual live black man. That's all they know about them. Right. So this is really important stuff mm-hmm. because, you know, hey, you can end up on a jury full of folks mm-hmm. that don't look like you. And if all they know about you is that basically African-American men are criminals,
right.
then you're not getting out of that situation.
Right.
And the last thing about our paradigm, though, that we're trying to change is to explode or reshape stereotypes and anything that diminishes us as black people. And mm-hmm. I think particularly what's mm-hmm. happened, the way our music culture, the hip-hop culture has been mm-hmm. kind of hijacked by corporate forces that over-sensationalize mm-hmm. this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a new group of stereotypes that's based on them old stereotypes right. of us being right. shiftless and whatnot. I think in the speech I talked to you about Birth of a Nation. And that really being the first major feature film. Mm-hmm. You know, I was reading recently that the president of the United States, Woodrow Wilson at that time, bought up a bunch of copies and distributed them around the country.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
As gifts.
So we need to take our story back.
Right.
We need to take our culture back. We need to support the institutions that do that. Mm-hmm. So here in Chicago, along with ETA, we've got mm-hmm. Black Ensemble Theater, mm-hmm. Congo Square, the mm-hmm. Harold Washington Center. There's all
DuSable.
Kinds of DuSable Museum. So we're actually a hotbed and one of the major centers for black culture in the United States and really mm-hmm. in the world.
So how should African-American non-custodial fathers, because you know our work, you helped us develop this work, how should our fathers engage in this project of reimagining the black man and boy?
Well, I think the first thing is that you don't really have to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that I found, the older I get, that simple stuff, the corny stuff, is the stuff that's right. So just spend time with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be present as a father. You know, we're all pushed by the kind of financial responsibility we have. And that's often, in the public policy work that you all are doing, the whole idea around child support and making that mm-hmm. a rational kind of system
mm-hmm.
is in critically important work. But everything's not about the money you can provide.
Right.
The most important thing you can provide is you. So mm-hmm. with respect to what we do at ETA, bring your child to a theater production. We have children's mm-hmm. shows. We have adult shows. We have all kinds of stuff. We're a very inexpensive, affordable place to be able to bring culture to your kids. Just
right.
take them. You know, I don't know about you, but when my parents and those moments when I was taking events like that mm-hmm. with them, I still remember mm-hmm. that.
Absolutely.
I still remember that. That's priceless stuff. So I say keep it real, keep it simple. Take them to stuff. You know, part of that, the article that you referenced before, the Open Opportunities Project, talked not just about
opportunities agenda,
not just about what we see, but mm-hmm. what we consume.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bottom line is the bottom line. If we stop buying garbage, they'll stop producing garbage. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you don't want to see that crap, don't pay for it, but support your own, because we are doing the kind of work that we're discussing that can change the minds and hearts of our people.
Mm-hmm. Well, Phil, let me just talk a moment about maybe some of the work that ETA is doing and engaging in the work around kind of advancing and struggling against these images. Can you give us some one thing you said that about what individuals can do, individuals, fathers, is to spend time with their kids. And there's also things that institutions can do, right? And maybe you could talk a little bit about some of that with as it relates to ETA, in practical terms, about things that ETA is doing to support that the transforming of that image, and certainly some of it's around programming. But can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Let me just talk about the programming first. Now, coming, you know, our new show that opened on June the 6th and will be running through the last weekend in July is called Who Do Love? So it's a wonderful love story with magic, and it's definitely grown. So I wouldn't bring the kiddies to this one, but it's a fantastic show that really deals with the African-American different kinds of African-American males. So it's very entertaining. It's a wonderful show. We also, during the summer, we have a summer day camp for kids that are 6 to 12. Wow. It's an arts camp. So the kids get instruction in dance, music, and drama. This year they're going to be doing a mini production of The Black Fairy, which was written by Usini Eugene Perkins. It's a classic children's play, and why I'm bringing that up now is it really deals with what we've just been talking about. It's about this black fairy who doesn't think her magic is as good enough because she's black. And the brilliance of this musical play is that it goes into that, and she begins to learn that her magic is unique and special. Isn't that? But he does that in a children's story designed to get to them, and that's for our kids. So the Black Fairy, that'll be running. That'll be the showcase that the kids are running. We're also doing a show for other day camps where they can bring kids throughout the summer, and that's called Hip Hop Aesop, which deals with the Aesop's fables. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that Aesop was a black man, right? So these Greek fables, they were about we put them to hip hop music, so it's accessible to kids.
Right.
It's a fantastic, very play that we're doing over the summer. We've got jazz music going. You know, Cliff Kelly does our Music Mondays along with Joan Colosso. So all of these are about bringing the culture in a very real way to our people.
Well, Phil, could you tell us a little bit more about how people might get in contact with ETA, and also tell, you know, how they might find out a little bit more about the summer programming? Because that sounds really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can either check us out on our Facebook site. That's ETA Creative Arts Foundation. We've got our website, www.etacreativearts.org, or you can just call us, 773-752-3955, 773-752-3955, and you can book either the day camp or one of the shows. Come out and see some of the programming we have in the music and the arts. We're doing a lot of things at ETA.
Sounds great.
Well, we want to thank you, Phil. We're just about out of time for joining us this afternoon. And again, we want to say Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, Happy Father's Day, Brother Phil.
Thank you.
And to all of our members. And as we wind down, let's talk about some of our invited guests, the folks that have come here and spent time with us. We had Bill Laurie, a good friend of ours.
And mine.
Right. And Phil, right.
Exactly. Yeah. And all of us, actually.
That's right.
Assistant to the president of the Chicago Community Trust. We had Dr. Marlana Karinga, founder and chair of U of Us and organization and creator of Kwanzaa. We had Susan Taylor, founder of National Cares Mentoring Movement and editor-in-chief emeritus Essence Magazine, and they're doing incredible work at Harlan High School Mentoring Program. We had Helen Mitchell, director of strategic planning and policy development for the Honorable Danny K. Davis, Congressman Davis. We had Karen Norton Reeves, CEO of Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership. We had Dr. Joe West from Sinai, and Dr. Angela Odom from UIC.
And I just want to remind folks, Saquon, that again, these previous shows are on our website at www.ffhc.org. You go under TV and radio, and you will see those radio shows listed in MP3 files. Download them and enjoy them.
Right. And today, Phil Thomas the CEO and president of ETA Theater, and Leslie Gorton, co-author of Dare to Be Extraordinary, a collection of positive life lessons from African-American fathers. We want to thank both of them again for joining us.
Absolutely fabulous. They were absolutely
And again,
fabulous.
Of course, we want to thank our fathers, our FFFC members. And so I think this has just been incredible. We got one more show to go. And we're just very excited about being here on WVON. And I think any closing remarks, Dr. Harris?
Yeah, well, you know, I always got closing remarks, and I just have to say this. On Father's Day, it's so important for us to recognize the work that fathers, the unsung heroes in communities, need to get on this day, and how important it is for us to recognize that there are positive, strong, capable, and committed fathers in our communities, and we have to lift that narrative up and recognize that there's a lot of narratives out there that are operating to the contrary, and we just can't believe them as being true. So I'm glad that we had such great guests to exemplify that, and it's been a pleasure to being with everybody here today on Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. So again, if you want more information on how to become a member, call us at 312-252-0460, extension 120, or visit our website at www.ffhc.org. Until next Sunday.
Hey, Brother Saquon, happy Father's Day, my man.
Happy Father's Day, Dr. Harris. Take care, everybody.
Peace.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago. Oh, crumpled bits of paper.